Today on Life Talk.
Nowhere in the Bible do we find victorious saints just hanging in there. We never see God advising his children, hey, hang in there. Paul the Apostle didn't say in Ephesians, having done all, hang in there. No, over and over again, the Bible says we're to stand.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. You know, I remember the days when somebody would say to me, Jeff, how you doing? And I would answer, oh, hanging in there. But I've changed that response because it occurred to me one day that Paul or Peter or particularly Jesus would never have responded that way. Because the Christian is never called to just hang in there. We're called to stand strong. And that's what today's message is all about. So grab your Bible and let's look together at what the scriptures teach us about God's will for every believer in regards to spiritual warfare and how we're to be found standing strong when the battle is done.
Today I want to bring you a fresh word on something that has really been speaking to me, especially during this troubled time in America. You know, we're dealing with this virus, we're dealing with racial tension, we're dealing riots and protests and upheaval and anarchy and all these things that are happening in our land, and all of us have been affected. So it's time to go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell us about navigating tough times where, no doubt about it, spiritual warfare is at an all-time high? Well, I want to go to the best-known chapter on spiritual warfare in the entire Bible, Ephesians 6, and I'm going to read about the armor of God, and I want you to notice as I read how many times Paul the Apostle says, stand. So watch for that word to pop up a lot. Ephesians 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people, but it's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness that are located in heavenly places. Therefore, in light of the truth of spiritual warfare, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying not sometimes, not every once in a while, but always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What a great, great passage of Scripture on spiritual warfare. There's no doubt about it. We're fighting a real devil who really does attack God's people and is really the sinister creature that the Bible paints him to be. But, you know, there was a time when somebody would say to me earlier on in my Christian walk, when somebody would say to me, how you doing, Jeff? And I would quickly say, well, hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. But you know, as time moved on, I got to thinking about this. I began to drop that little phrase. It's like the Holy Spirit just sort of weaned me from it without me even really consciously thinking about it, because That's not the greatest thing to say. Well, I'm just kind of hanging in there. You know, because nowhere in the Bible do we find victorious saints just hanging in there. We never see God advising his children, hey, hang in there. Paul the Apostle didn't say in Ephesians, having done all, hang in there. No, over and over again, the Bible says we're to stand. Because hanging in there sounds like you're barely hanging in there. It sounds like you're barely holding on. And any minute now, you could lose your grip and fall into defeat. And that's not the way God's word sees God's people. No, God says, having done all, stand in there. Don't hang in there, but stand in there. So I want to talk to you today about not hanging in there, but standing in there. You know, one Bible translation says, take your stand. Another one says, stand firm. Another says, stand against. Yet another translation says, stand up. The Living Bible says, stand safe. The Amplified says, successfully stand up against. But whatever Bible you read, whatever translation or paraphrase, we're told that the Christian's posture is to stand in the day of attack. The picture presented here is to stand your ground with your feet firmly planted, ready and able to withstand anything that the devil throws against you. So wherever you are, you ought to just say, stand. Just say it out loud, because that's what we're to do. We're to stand. We're told three times in Ephesians 6 to stand, and another time to withstand. So three times, stand, stand, having done all, stand, and withstand. Stand your ground. Don't give up. Don't run. The word stand is opposed to running or quitting. The Bible is saying stand, stand firm. We all played, probably most of us as a child, King of the Hill. And what was King of the Hill? You would stand on the top of a hill and people would try to throw you down. And what did you do? You took your stand and you refused to be thrown down. You fought to not be thrown down. That's the picture in the word stand. Stand on the mountain of victory and don't run, don't hide, don't put up the white flag, don't quit. Now, I want you to notice how Paul points out that while we're always engaged in spiritual warfare, there are times when the attack is particularly strong, when the enemy really turns up the heat. Now, Paul calls that the evil day. Now, let me quote it again. He said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, the war that we're in is always going down. The minute we got saved, we entered the war, the battle between good and evil, right and wrong, Christ and the devil. That war is always going down. But our battles, our daily battles, are sometimes less and sometimes more. Sometimes there is a day of evil. The evil day is the day of unexpected conflict. Notice Paul puts the definite article in front of it, the evil day. He isolates that thought, the evil day. In the evil day, you may be able to stand. The evil day is the day of unexpected conflict. When suddenly the enemy unleashes his fiery arrows against us in a heavy way, that's the evil day. Out of nowhere, the lion attacks, the bullets fly, the bombs explode, and we're taken by surprise. We didn't know that it was coming. We didn't receive an Instagram telling us, you're about to experience an evil day of attack. No, they come. And suddenly, whatever it is that brings it, we're in an evil day, a particularly difficult day of spiritual warfare. One trial stacks on top of another. As Job of old experienced, one thing after another just fell his way. One conflict is followed by another. And then here comes yet another. And we end up saying with Jacob, so many things are against me. I believe our nation right now is in an evil day. Our nation is experiencing right now a season of intensified attack. It wasn't this way 4 months ago. Yes, we were in a warfare, we were in a battle, but look at what's happened in just 4 months. Suddenly our nation has stepped into a particularly intense time of spiritual warfare. Suddenly we're in an evil day. The enemy is attacking us, an evil day. And God's people are called to stand strong. Listen, Paul said, having done all in the evil day, stand strong. Having done all, stand. Don't run, don't hide, don't duck, don't back off, don't turn away, but stand. Stand your ground in the evil day. Don't lose your victory. Don't give in to defeat. Don't give the enemy the advantage. Now, Paul wants to make sure we understand the way the devil operates, and here's how he does it. He informs us that when the evil day comes, the enemy has already been strategizing and scheming to take his best shot. You say, well, Jeff, how do you know that? Well, I know that by the word that Paul uses in verse 11. He said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is from a Greek word, methodeia, methodeia. We get method from that word. And it means the devil is methodical. The devil is strategic. The devil plans ahead. He doesn't just grab a shotgun, spiritually speaking, and shoot our way hoping to hit something. No, but he's telling us when he uses the word wiles, the Lord is telling us in his word that the devil is a strategizer. He thinks. He plans ahead. He knows how to attack you based on your past weaknesses and the strongholds that he had established in your life before you knew Jesus. He knows that what you struggle with in the flesh. And so he waits for the opportune moment. You know, it says when the devil left Jesus in the wilderness after Jesus defeated him, it says in the Bible, he left him until an opportune time. Now that tells us a lot. The devil is methodical, strategic. He waits for opportune moments, his best moments. He never plays fair, and he's sinister in his tactics. We need to understand this. How can we defeat an enemy that we don't understand or know anything about? You've got to know that the devil is always looking for the opportune moment in your life. He's always looking for that particularly vulnerable time when you're down, when you're feeling frustrated, when you're discouraged, when you're weak, when you're tired. He looks for times like that. His attacks are premeditated and well laid out, artfully, skillfully, with cunning. That's our enemy, the wiles of the devil, the methods, the strategies of the devil. We must put on the armor of God. We must have God's wisdom so that we can stand against the planned ahead, methodical, strategic attacks of Satan in the evil day.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
He takes his time in laying his traps. I personally believe that he will work many, many years to bring down a man of God or a woman of God. He'll set up a situation where you could not be more vulnerable. The time and the place where he will spring a trap. This is the way he works with people, and I believe this is the way he works with nations. He will set a person up or a nation up. One compromise here, another one there. And he waits for a time when he can swoop in most effectively. Now, I'm not lifting the devil up. I'm here to lift up Jesus and preach down the devil. But we need to understand him. We need to understand our enemy. He carefully schemes to drag the lost down to hell. Satan prefers to work in the dark, subtly, not openly. He'd rather deal with you craftily than face to face. Look at Eve in the garden, how he approached, how he craftily and skillfully weaved an argument to cause her to compromise the word of God. He traffics in lies, smoke and mirrors, sleight of hand, always carefully concealing the hook in the bait he dangles before you. So the great apostle Paul warns us that we need to every piece of the armor of God to successfully stand against the carefully laid snares and traps of Satan. Paul's intent with writing Ephesians 6 is that when the dust is settled and the battle is over, we are standing victorious in Jesus Christ. I said, when the battle is over, we're standing. We're not down in defeat. We haven't run in fear, but we're standing, covered in the armor, covered in victory, covered in the blood. We are standing victoriously when the battle is over. Standing, standing firm. Now, with that in mind, I want to share three key ways. Now, we do know that Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And so I want to go to some other things I find in the Word that help us to stand firm, to successfully stand in the evil day of attack, along with the armor of God, because most of you are very familiar with the armor of God. But I want to deal with three keys to standing in the evil day or the day of attack. And here's the three. Keep a clear conscience. Power up with daily time with God. And keep moving forward. Now, those are three keys. Let me deal with them one at a time. First one, keep a clear conscience. I can't tell you how important it is in your warfare, in your walk with God, that you and I keep a clear conscience. The Bible directly links a clear conscience to spiritual victory. Now, Paul the Apostle writes to Timothy, his son in the faith. Listen carefully to these words, because he's warning Timothy, who is now a pastor. He's warning him, and by default, he's warning all of us. He said, Timothy, cling tightly to your faith in Christ and always keep your conscience clear, doing what you know is right. For some people have disobeyed their consciences and have deliberately done what they knew was wrong, and their faith is now in ruins. What is a clear conscience? It is a conscience that is at peace with God. There is nothing between you and me and God. We know that the slate is clear. There's no unconfessed sin. We're at peace with God. We're walking with God, fellowshipping with God. But an unclear conscience is troubled. It is guilty. It is that oppressed feeling, that sense that you're not right with God and there are issues you need to take care of in order to walk with Him. You know, when a Christian sins, they don't lose their salvation. They lose their fellowship with God. And you know, that fellowship with God is so crucial to spiritual warfare. How can you win a war? How can you win a battle with the captain of your salvation leading you if your fellowship with the captain of your salvation is broken? No, we need to walk with God with a clear conscience. See, the devil's number one weapon against you and me is condemnation. The very word devil, diabolos, means the accuser. He's called, his name means the accuser. That means he's always accusing. He's always blaming. He's always pointing the finger. We're told that in Job's time, he went before God and accused Job to God, because that's what the devil does. He's diabolos, the accuser. And when our conscience isn't clear before God, the devil has an open door to accuse us in the theater of our own minds and shoot us down with guilt. And if you're walking around guilty and your fellowship with God is broken, how can you fight the devil? You can't fight the devil that way. And because of unconfessed sin, relationship with God is broken, so we don't have access to His peace. And even more than that, we don't have access to His power. And so we got to keep our conscience clear. Paul says, cling tightly to your faith in Christ and always keep your conscience clear. You know, in my neighborhood, just a few months ago, we learned that people have been breaking into garages and stealing stuff out of people's garages. And invariably, it was garages where the garage door had been left open. What about that? But we heard about that, and I developed my own little saying. Here's my saying. I tell myself, even if I'm going to go somewhere for 5 minutes, I open the garage door, pull the car out, and you know, if I'm just going to run to the store and come right back, the temptation is to leave it open. But I thought, no, here's going to be my little philosophy, my little rule of thumb. And it is this: never give a thief a chance. Close the garage door. Never give a thief a chance. Close the garage door. Every Christian needs to have that attitude about the devil. Never give the thief a chance. Close the garage door of your conscience by keeping it clear and right before God. Never give the thief a chance. Don't give him 5 minutes. Don't give him 3 minutes. Don't give him 1 minute. Because the devil is an opportunist, and he looks for opportunities to get into your life and mine. And we can't give him an open door. We can't even open the door a crack. So the same philosophy I have about my garage door. Just yesterday I was leaving, and I was going somewhere for about 3 minutes. But that little saying went through my mind: Jeff, never give a thief a chance. Because what if I left and somebody was hanging around and they saw that I left my garage door open and I got back and my bike was gone or something else was gone? How I would kick myself that I allowed the thief to steal from me. It's the same thing spiritually. We ought to have that attitude. I'm not going to give the thief a chance. I'm not going to walk around with a sullied conscience, which gives him an open door. It leaves the garage door open for him to come in and steal. Paul in another place said, never give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him any land in your soul. Don't give him a place. Give no place to the devil. And so practice quick repentance. Never go to bed with unconfessed sin. If you mess up, fess up and repent quickly. Keep very short accounts with God. You say, well, Jeff, I'm ashamed to go to God with what I've done. Hey, listen, God's been around a long time. I say that tongue in cheek. God has heard it all. And you know what? He already knows about your sin and mine. So when we say to him, according to 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's faithful and he's just. He's able. He's the only one who can. And so take your sin to him. I'll take my sin to him. And I'm not going to give the devil 5 minutes to get in the door. So repent quickly. Number one, stand strong in battle by keeping your conscience clear. Is your conscience clear right now? Is there any little thing floating around in the back of your mind, an area where you know that you've messed up in your thoughts or your words or your actions or maybe an attitude? Maybe you said something that hurt somebody, or you've been thinking about things that are not wholesome, or you did something that you know grieved the Spirit. Why let it sit there? Give your sin a very short shelf life. Take it to God and say, God, forgive me. And you will find that then and only then can you fight a good fight against the devil. Now, the second key to standing strong is to power up daily by time spent in the Word and prayer. Say wherever you are, power up. Because that's what I do every day. I power up. Isn't it funny? We know that we need to put gasoline in the gas tank to drive our car. We know we need to eat to stay alive. But how often we neglect our inner man, our spirit man, and we don't power up, we don't gas up, we do not re-energize ourselves by spending time with God. But I want you to listen to what Joshua was told by God, and again, by default, it's telling us the same thing. Study this book of instruction, God's Word, continually. Meditate on it once a month. Is that what it says? Once a month, once a week? No. It says, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Here's the promise attached to the command. Only then will you prosper, and only then will you succeed in all you do.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.